It's Monday, June 3rd. I'm George Prentice, sitting in for Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters. At least 20 Wilder area farm workers complained of flu-like symptoms in late May. The workers were taken to an area hospital for decontamination and treatment. The Idaho State Department of Agriculture has opened an investigation. A review is underway to find out if pesticides were the source of the contamination. The victims in incidents such as this are frequently migrant farm workers. They do seasonal work with visas or sometimes no documentation. These workers are some of the most vulnerable in the American workforce. And today, we're looking at efforts to provide protections for these workers. Joining us in studio are Sonai Alvarez, Communications Specialist with Community Council of Idaho, Dunia Aplicano, a farm worker advocate with the State Department of Labor, and Luis Urias, a program specialist with the State Department of Agriculture. Welcome to you all.
Thank you, sir.
Good to be here.
Thanks for coming here. I would be remiss if we didn't try to get a little bit of an update. Mr. Urias, what can you tell us about the incident that happened in late May?
Well, this happened on Sunday, the 26th, around noon. So there were some farm workers on a field, and that's when the accident or incident occurred. So they were complaining about headaches and sore throat and those kind of things. So they were taken to the local hospital in Caldwell, and that's where an investigation initiated at that point. So most of the farm workers were released on the same day. Just one person stayed overnight for their observations. But at this point, like I said, it's an ongoing investigation, and we're trying to gather all the information as much as we can to eliminate every possible source of alleged contamination.
And you are the lead of that investigation.
Yes, sir, I am.
Does that include an investigative team? Do you have colleagues?
Well, they're helping me in collecting samples or other contacting other people. So,
how long does a probe like this usually take?
Well, when it comes to the human exposure situations like these, or single human exposure, so we have a 30-day
30 days
to submit the complete report.
Okay. And does that go public, or does it go to the governor first? At what point do we in the public get to see that?
Once the report is submitted to the main office, so anybody can make a public record request, because every single document or report that we generate as a state agency becomes public.
Okay. And again, just for time frame, you have 30 days from when? The day
from,
of the incident?
From Sunday, May 26th.
Okay. So by the end of this month?
More likely.
Okay. Dunia, you're an advocate for migrant farm workers.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the legal needs of these workers. Talk a little bit about that.
As you can imagine, this group of workers, when we have like up to 61,000 in a season here in Idaho, you find all kinds of levels of knowledge with regards to protections. And in many cases, the workers are Spanish-speaking workers. They don't speak English. So it takes quite a bit of education to let the workers know that they do have protections.
What makes them vulnerable? Obviously, it's that English is not their first language, but also just the nature of their work.
The nature of their work, mostly in rural areas. A lot of these workers live in rural areas. They speak the language, sometimes don't know all the protections that are out there for our jobs. And a lot of the workers don't know the systems either. I mean, they come from countries where things don't work the same as they do here. And the isolation sometimes, too, depending on what kind of job they are doing. As an example, sheep herders are some of the most isolated workers out there working in the mountains. So it requires an effort to provide that information, to create the awareness about the protections they have.
Can I assume that there's a shyness at best, and maybe even just fear of reaching out?
Absolutely. And we find that in the case of workers who might not have authorization to work here, It's even worse. They believe that by contacting one of our agencies, they will be exposed to deportation. It's part of the education that we do, because really when somebody has been hired, employers don't have to hire workers who are not authorized to work here. But once they get hired, all those protections come into place.
To be clear, though, that fear of reporting, can you be very specific as far as a worker's fear of being reported?
Yes, we are a government agency, mm-hmm. so we have to clarify that we have no connection to, Homeland Security or anything with regards to the work that we do. We don't ask about the status of the workers.
Okay.
And so...
Sanai Alvarez, Community Specialist with Community Council of Idaho. How do you spend your days?
So I do a lot of the communication in the organization, but mm-hmm. speaking for the organization, we do a lot to provide resources and materials, money for farm workers. For example, every year in March, we hold what we call long sleeve drive, where we collect long sleeve shirts for, protection. But through the years, we found they need also gloves. They need hats, and specifically gloves, for example. Some farm workers work in the winter, and they can't afford to get gloves. And so the ones that do have gloves, they're all ripped up, or some don't have gloves at all. So their hands are cut up from the cold. And so we try to step in any way we can to make sure that they have what they need to do their job without being, in pain or...
Can I assume that your organization gets phone calls, maybe specific or maybe anonymous, with questions about pesticides and things like that workers might be around?
So our agency typically gets calls from farm workers that might need assistance with, rent, maybe if they're trying to get out of agriculture mm-hmm. Into a different field, or with, emergency medical bills, things like that we have funding for. But specifically calls on that, not really. But if we do, we work really closely with Dunia here, and she does amazing in making sure that those instances do get investigated and...
Can you speak to them?
Yes. Actually, we receive referrals from the Community Council of Idaho, and we are working together cross-training. I have provided training to all of their staff in how to help farm workers file complaints, because the Idaho Department of Labor has a complaint system. One feature of that complaint system also, which I think is very important, is that we as employees of the State Department of Labor can file a complaint on behalf of the workers if we have enough information to initiate an investigation. So other people can report that to us, and as long as it's credible information, we can file complaints on behalf of our workers. But they do file complaints. Last year, we received a total of 586 complaints. 30 of those were from farm workers. And then we filed seven, what we call apparent violations, which is that complaint that we as employees file on behalf of farm workers.
We're speaking with State Department of Labor worker advocate Dunia Aplicano, Idaho Department of Agriculture Program Specialist Luis Urias, and Community Council of Idaho Communication Specialist Sanai Alvarez, and we'd love to hear from you. You can communicate with us via email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. On Twitter, use hashtag Idaho Matters, or on our Facebook page, Boise State Public Radio. Louise, you work specifically on programs designed to protect agricultural workers and their families from pesticide exposure. Talk about the dangers and how they're mitigated.
Yes, sir. So the Department of Ag, of course, we have a working with EPA. And mm-hmm. so the program that I'm responsible for is the Worker Protection Standard, or WPS. So it's a federal program. So, but that's been implemented since 1992. So the Department of Ag in the state of Idaho is the agency in charge of making sure the employers comply with these regulations. And so we have a very proactive program. So we are conducting training for workers, handlers. So the difference between worker and pesticide handler is basically the worker is the employee who has nothing to do with pesticides in any way, meaning like handling, applying pesticides, nothing like that. And the pesticide handler, on the other hand, is a person mixing, loading, applying pesticides.
Are there specific laws, though, that say that that workers are not supposed to be around pesticides?
No, not around, but they need to be trained and informed.
Okay.
Pesticides have been applied in this field. And the components of the WPS, or Worker Protection Standards Training, decontamination supplies, information at the central location where workers can go and see what chemicals or pesticides were applied in the last 30 days.
Does Idaho have specific laws as far as reporting of pesticides being used?
Well, as far as on the farm?
Yes.
No, but they have to maintain records.
Okay.
So for 30 days at a central location where any employee can access that information, and also maintain the same record for a total of 2 years.
Now, I'm not asking about this specific investigation, but can I assume, though, that that's one of the first things that you look at in an investigation?
Well, it's part of the investigation, yes.
Yeah.
So because when it comes to when you hire a professional applicator, because WPS doesn't only cover the farm or the egg community, but when I say a community, is farms, forests, nurseries, and greenhouses. Okay. So any worker or pesticide handler working under those scenarios is covered under WPS. But also at the same time, you have the commercial handler employers, such as professional applicators. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when they apply for a farm for hire, they're required to exchange information about the application taking place or is going to take place. That way, the owner, the farmer, can display that information at a central location for their employees.
Excellent. And Sinai, again, about the Community Council of Idaho, I'm assuming, I think you mentioned this, legal aid, assistance in housing. Yes, these are all under your roof?
Yes. We have affordable housing in central Idaho, so mm-hmm. Twin Falls area. We also have affordable clinics in eastern Idaho. Here we have our immigration program. We have our workforce development. And we have Head Start centers across the state where, you know, we help take care of, and we have a really good curriculum for the children of farm workers.
Excellent. Sinai Alvarez is with Community Council of Idaho. Dania Aplicano is with the Idaho Department of Labor, and Luis Urias is with the Idaho Department of Agriculture. We are very anxious to revisit this when we know a little bit more, when the investigation becomes public. Thank you to you all. Up next, author Roger McNamee discusses the unintended consequences of social media. This is Idaho Matters.